දන්න ගෞරව ස්වාමී ස්තවයන් ක්‍රේසේසි භක්තිවි දන්න ගෞරව ස්වාමී මහරජාගේ ප්‍රකෘපාර කී ජය අනන්න කුරිවයිස්නේ වින්ද කී ජය නාමාචාර්ය සිරහරි දස්ථාකෝ කී ජය ඉස්කාන් ගුරු වින්ද කී ජය නාමාචාර්ය සිරහරි දස්ථාකෝ කී ජය ප්‍රේමචෝ ශ්‍රී ක්‍රිෂ්ණ චෛතන්‍ය ප්‍රමුඛාරම් ශ්‍රී බෛරගදාරහත් ශ්‍රී වාසුදී ගෞර භක්තිවි කී ජය ශ්‍රී ශ්‍රී රාධා මාරව ශ්‍රී ශ්‍රී රාධා මාරව රාගින්ද ශ්‍යාමකුන්ද ගිරිගෝබදාන් කී ජය මචුරදාන් කී ජය නවජිතාන් කී ජය ජගනපුතාන් කී ජය ජගන ස්වාමී කී ජය වෘන්දාවන්දාන් කී ජය ශ්‍රී මායබෝධාන් කී ජය භක්තිදේවි කී ජය සුරස්මරාණි කී ජය ගෞරවමනන් හරිගෝ සමවිද භක්තිවින්ද කී ජය ඕ ගරි ස්ත්‍රි සමල වෝඩිස ඕ ගරි ස්ත්‍රි සමල වෝඩිස ඕ ගරි ස්ත්‍රි සමල වෝඩිස නවකවජෝක්ල ශ්‍රී ශ්‍රී ගුරුංගුණාගෝ ශ්‍රී ප්‍රභුපාද ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 19, King Prithu's 100 Horse Sacrifices, text number 26. Tat Abhigaya Bhagavan Prithu Prithuparakrama Indraya Kupita Panam Atata Udgata Karmuka Tad Abhigaya Bhagavan Tad Abhigaya Bhagavan Prithu Prithu Parakrama Prithu Prithu Parakrama Indraya Kupito Banam Indraya Kupito Banam Atato Jatta Karmuka Atato Jatta Karmuka Tad Abhigaya Bhagavan Prithu Prithu Parakrama Indraya Kupito Banam Atato Jatya Karmuka Next please. Tad Abhigaya Bhagavan Prithu Prithu Parakrama Indraya Kupito Banam Atato Jata Karmaka Abhigaya Bhagavan Prithu Prithu Parakrama Indraya Kupito Banam Atatata Karmaka Tatabhigaya Bhagavan Prithu Prithu Parakrama Indraya Kupito Banam Adato Jata Karmuka Ladies Tad Abhigaya Bhagavan Prithu Prithu Parakrama प्रयाकुपितो बाणम् आत्मजगत्कर्मका तत् देत् अभिज्ञाया अंडरस्टैंडिंग भगवान The incarnation of Godhead, Prithu, King Prithu, Prithu Parakrama, celebrated as very powerful, Indraya, upon Indra, Kupita, being very angry, Banam, an arrow atata took up uttata having taken up karmaka the bow translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Maharaj Prithu who was celebrated as very powerful immediately took up his bow and arrows and prepared to kill Indra himself. Because Indra had introduced such irregular sannyasa orders. Purport. It is the duty of the king not to tolerate the introduction of any irreligious systems. Since King Prithu was an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, certainly his duty was to cut down all kinds of irreligious systems. Following in his footsteps, all heads of state should themselves be bona fide representatives of God and should cut down all irreligious systems. Unfortunately, they are cowards who declare a secular state. Such a mentality is a way of compromising religious and irreligious systems. But because of this, citizens are generally becoming uninterested in spiritual advancement. Thus, the situation deteriorates to such an extent that human society becomes hellish. So the verse again was Tat Abhigyaya Bhagavan Prithu Prithu Parakrama Indraya Kubicho Banam Atat Purjata Karmika. Maharaj Prithu, who was celebrated as very powerful, immediately took up his bow and arrows and prepared to kill Indra himself, because Indra had introduced such irregular sannyas orders. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु चानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री रघुवर गौड़वंशवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो इट इज इंटरेस्टेड टू नो हियर दैट फॉल्स रिलीजन इरिलीजियस सिस्टम्स इज नॉट अ न्यू not a new phenomenon. It's been going on since time immemorial. This year King Prithu, this past time when where Indra is trying to steal his sacrificial horse, it happened millions of years ago in the Treta Yuga. So it is not a new thing. Sometimes we have this idea when we see irregularities and even irreligious activities happening in ISKCON, we think, how can it happen? How can these things take place in Srila Prabhupada's movement? But just like Srila Prabhupada said, don't be surprised about the people who fall down. Be surprised about the people who stay. Because we are in the age of Kali. It's a very, very fallen age where the irreligious practices are very, very prominent. So we should not be surprised when we see these same things happening in a religious movement who's trying to preach in such a society. We, for instance, sometimes people, and they will even rant about it on the internet, and blah, 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 this guru fell down, that sannyasi fell down, there's a pedophile, this child was abused. But we should look at the modern society. Like I just heard when I was in Sweden the last time, some weeks ago, I heard on the radio that one girl in four and one boy in seven is being abused and misused by someone in his family. So child abuse is not something which is particular to religions. It is happening in society, in the so-called secular society. Sometimes people like to point out the Catholic Church, ISKCON, oh look at all this child abuse which is going on. But the same things are happening, or whatever we are guilty of in ISKCON, in the modern society they are thousands of times more guilty. Whatever they accuse us of, they are thousands of times more guilty themselves. All these things are going on in the so-called secular society. And that's Prabhupada mentions this cheating secular society as an excuse to not have a religious society. Like we have seen in the world nowadays that those countries who are religious and who want to govern their countries from religious principles, they are kind of fanatic and sometimes even inhuman. You see some places they want to practice Muslim law, you know, they stone women who are unfaithful to their husbands. So that's not what it means to be religious. To be religious actually means to understand the human psyche and to not completely condemn people because they are weak in the flesh. We can see from Prabhupada's own example that he was so magnanimous, so tolerant towards his disciples' weaknesses, their sensual weaknesses. There's the example of, I find that's kind of a funny example, when Shyamasundara Prabhu, he was carving Jagannath. So he was carving Jagannath and Prabhupada came up to his room one day and he saw this pack of cigarettes lying on top of Lord Jagannath. So Prabhupada didn't freak out, hey, what are you doing smoking cigarettes? He said, can you please take the pack of cigarettes and put it on the table, don't have them on the head of Lord Jagannath. That's what's his reaction. Prabhupada was very forgiving because we are in the age of Kali and we are very, very weak. Prabhupada said one time in a class in Los Angeles, he was pointing out to his disciples, he said, just the fact that you've been born in this age of Kali means that you're very, very, very sinful. Three times he repeated, very simple. So, just the fact that we are here in this age means that we are not innocent, we are not qualified really to take up bhakti. But this is also the testament to the power of the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that even like he's called the most magnanimous avatar, the most merciful avatar, Mahabhadanyaya. that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the savior of the most fallen. Also one time Prabhupada said, when one of his disciples said, "Oh Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen," Prabhupada said, "You're not the most of anything." So we can always find someone who's better than us, and we can always find someone who's worse than us. And that's not really the point. And this verse speaks about irreligious practices, how we have to curb them. Now we read the Bhagavad Gita, we learn about the three modes of material nature, and we see all the symptoms of a self-realized soul, and we also see the symptoms of a person who's not self-realized. And we like to point out these things in other people. Like when we learn about the modes of material nature, we're like, look at this person, that's the mode of passion, look at that, that's the mode of ignorance. But this science of self-realization being depicted in the Bhagavad Gita is basically to view our own personal advancement in Krishna consciousness. We shouldn't actually be so preoccupied with other people's advancement, because basically that is a matter between them and Krishna and their guru. What we should be mostly worried about is our own purification. So Prabhupada says here in the purport that it is the duty of every religious government to curb irreligious practices and establish pure bhakti. Now in the modern society it is clearly ruled by ungodly powers. They call it the secular state, but that's actually just an excuse to not have any religious principles governing the state. And also we see when they have religious principles governing the states, they're usually so fanatic and misunderstood and primitive that we would rather have a state without religion. But that's not real religion. Real religion is depicted in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Real religion is the Vaishnava religion. All other religions in the world are simply just cheap imitations of the Vaishnava religion. And that is just a fact. You see, other religions, they don't have any answers. Who is God? What does God look like? What does God want with us? Why and how has God created the world? Who and what is the soul? You ask any other religion in the world, you can ask Buddhists, Christians, Muslims, they don't have any answers to these questions. But the Vaishnava religion can give you detailed answers to all these questions. We can tell who is God, what he looks like, what he does, and everything we can tell about God. Why? Because Prabhupada has given us this Srimad Bhagavatam, and there is the full science. That's why Prabhupada called it the science of self-realization. It is not a belief system that we have here. It is a science about the knowledge of God. That is why the Vaishnava religion is supreme in the world of religions, because it is not a faith. They like to depict religious people, "Oh, you have faith. You are believers." But even an atheist, he also has faith. He also has to believe. They will actually believe in the most silly things, atheists. They will believe that the world came out of a bunch of chemicals. And there was this little amoeba, and the amoeba grew legs and it learned to talk. I mean, how stupid is that? Only a complete brain dead person will believe in such nonsense. It's much more logical and reasonable to believe in an intelligent designer. And we can actually tell people about who is the intelligent designer. We know who God is. Some, when you tell people that, they say, "Yeah, you're completely crazy," they will say. And most people who say they know God, they are crazy, because they don't know and they're just babbling on. But we actually know. And it is our duty to give this knowledge to the rest of humanity. Now, Prabhupada says that it is the duty of the heads of state to curb irreligious principles. Now, we are not the heads of state, we are just some little tiny minority in a godless society. And also in this age of Kali, we are actually not supposed to kill the irreligious people. In other ages, in the ages of righteousness, and when the king was righteous, then it was his duty to even kill atheists and demons. Like here, Prithu Maharaj takes up his bow and he prepares to kill even Indra. Now Indra, he's the king of heaven, and it is interesting to note that even the demigods, they are also contaminated by the three modes of material nature. They are much more in the mode of goodness than we are here on this earth planet. But still, there are some, the modes of passion and ignorance are there. Otherwise, how can Indra become envious and worried about this person or that person taking his position? That is typical mode of passion and ignorance. So these things are going on all over the material world. It is not only on the earthly planets that, and sometimes people think that it is perfect in the heavenly planets, but it is not. It's not perfect. Basically they are doing the same things as we are doing, they are just doing it in a more refined, a godly way. But still, even Indra, he tries to disrupt a religious function. That's actually demonic. So we can see that Indra here, he acts in a demonic way, trying to disrupt the religious function of King Prithu. Now King Prithu was such a powerful king that he could even take out weapons against the king of heaven. Normally people on the earth, they can't do that. But in those days, with a king like King Prithu, it was heavenly. Heaven reigned on earth. So there was not much difference between the earth and the heavenly planets. But that is not so nowadays. And therefore, we need the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said he has not come to kill the miscreants. He's come to kill their demonic mentality. And how does he do that? By the sound of the Hare Krishna mantra. And that is our duty, to tell people about... Nowadays people are actually too fallen and basically too stupid to understand right from wrong and philosophy. So our mode of preaching is simply to subject people to the sound of the Hare Krishna mantra. And we can see it is so effective. Like we are sitting here and we came from the sound of the Hare Krishna mantra. We were completely fallen sense enjoyers before we became devotees. And now we have become purified to such an extent that we can actually take actively part in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. That is not a small thing, this is actually a very wonderful thing. Sometimes we think, oh, I've been here for 30 years, I'm still full of material desires, even though I chant Hare Krishna every day. And it says in the Bhagavad Gita, quickly such a person who takes up bhakti and who is steadfast on the path of bhakti, it says in the Bhagavad Gita, quickly he would become purified and Krishna will rectify him. So what is this 20, 30 years and I still have such a rotten heart? But we should understand that from the spiritual point of view, even a billion years, even if we have to do this for a million lifetimes, trying to become pure devotees and serve Krishna, this is just like this. This is so quick, very, very quick. Actually, when we finally go back to the spiritual world, Krishna will tell, hey, where were you? If we couldn't find you, it would be like you were away just for a few minutes. Even we have been away in solar years, we have been here in this world for millions and billions of years. Even many of, maybe we don't know, we have been here even maybe for several of Brahma's lifetimes. But this is so short in our real existence. In our real existence with Krishna, it didn't even happen. So short it is. That's why this whole material world is called illusory. Why? Because it has a beginning and an end. Like even this lifetime, we feel it's a whole lifetime, it's so long. We think we have practically eternal time in front of us. But when we stand at the threshold of this life and we have to leave, finally we have to leave this body, then we'll understand it was just like this. This life that I was so absorbed in, this body which I held so dear, it was just a phantasmagoria. It practically didn't even happen. That's how it is from seen from the point of the eternal existence of the spirit, of the spirit soul. So this we will gradually realize. Rupa Goswami says, Utsaha Nishya Dharyat Tat Tat Karma Pravartana, that three qualities which are very, very important for the execution of bhakti. It is determination, it is enthusiasm, and it is patience. Why patience? Because we have to be willing to practice even though we are full of material desires, even though we have all these contaminations. We have to be, first of all, we have to be determined to go on, no matter what, to go on in the bhakti process. And we have to be patient, waiting for Krishna's mercy, waiting for the day when we don't have to act anymore on this foolish material body. If we just have that determination, that patience, and that enthusiasm to engage in Krishna's service, then we can be guaranteed our success. And that should appease our sometimes disturbed minds. So it is not a matter of falling down or not falling down, or this contamination or that contamination. Of course, these things will keep us back, but ultimately they don't mean anything as long as we have the determination and the patience to stick to the bhakti process. Then these things will go away. They will just go away. And in the end we will be situated in 100% pure love of Krishna. Thank you for your kind attention and patience. Are there any comments or questions? Last day for you.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, you made the point that the Vaishnava religion is a science as opposed to every other religion who are merely faith. How do we understand that the Vaishnava religion is also for sampradayas who do have differences? How can this be scientific, that there are sometimes philosophical differences that would not, we wouldn't think should be there? And also we know that Srila Prabhupada many times stressed that Krishna consciousness is not just a science, but it's also a faith, like other faiths. But what mattered was to have strong faith, and in whatever your path is, to develop strong faith. So isn't that more important than emphasizing that we're the best? Because everyone does that. The other three sampradayas think they are the best. The Christians think the best, the Muslims, the Jews. So we become a bit more ordinary by emphasizing this, in my perception, but maybe you can expand it.
It doesn't matter in whatever way you preach religion nowadays, people will always come and they will say, all religions say that. And they will use it as an excuse to point out the faults in your religion. And it is a fact that Shraddha is the first step in the nine processes of devotional service. Shraddha, Prabhupada says in one purpose, Shraddha is the most important. So faith is very important. But that doesn't matter whatever you do, whether you want to do religion, practice religion, or you want to become a lawyer, or you want to practice whatever you want to practice, some material life, you have to have faith. You have to have faith that this will be good for you and that you will get some money. Like when you get up in the morning, you have to have faith that, you know, when you go to work that you will get paid. So faith is a basic thing, that's a fact. But our faith is not blind faith. Our faith, and we don't point out that just having faith in God is enough. Prabhupada never says that. He says knowledge of God. That's the important thing. And that's what we have, and that's what other religions don't have. Like, so when we point that out, of course other religions, they will say the same things. They will say that our God is the only God, and our way of practicing is the only way. But that is only to be expected, because all religions, other religions, they are actually derived from the original Vaishnava religion. And we say that the Vaishnava religion is the only true religion, and we have the true understanding of God. So other religions will naturally say the same things. But the difference is that we have basis for what we are saying, and they don't have any basis. Do you want to say something?
Yeah, when you say the Vaishnava religion, what do you mean? The one of the four or the Gaudiya Vaishnava religion?
Well, then when you get into the details, you get into the four different sampradayas. But when I say the Vaishnava religion, I basically mean the Vaishnava religion. And then you can get into details, but these details, they don't rule out each other. They are basically just emphasis and different conceptions and views of God. But Mahaprabhu, when we are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave the supreme understanding of Krishna, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. And that's what we are following. And we can argue for that faith, and we have logic and reason to, as the basis of our faith. Our faith is not blind, and it doesn't matter what philosophical, existential, or religious, or theological question you will ask. We are the only religion who has a good answer. Nobody else has. So if somebody comes and says, yeah, but everyone says so, the Muslims say the same thing, the Christians say the same thing, then we can say, well, okay, so let's submit it to a test, ask any question, then listen to what they say, and then listen to what we say, and then judge yourself who has the best knowledge.
Thank you very much.
Anything else? All right, so we will end here. Thank you very much. Dr. Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Purvamananda Ananda.